Welcome to the Stoic Meditations podcast, where each time we consider a bit of wisdom from the ancient philosophers of Greece and Rome. I am Massimo Pigliucci, a professor of philosophy at the City College of New York, and I will guide you through this reading. In Season 4, Episode 570, we draw on various Stoic sources to help us cope with the ongoing COVID-19 epidemics. So this is going to be a special show, a bit longer than usual. As you well know by now, the world is experiencing a rapidly expanding infection by the COVID-19 virus, a type of coronavirus that has first manifested itself in the Chinese city of Wuhan and that is now causing a large number of cases in various other parts of the world, including Japan, South Korea, Iran, Europe, as well as the United States. It's also very likely that you have been exposed to a barrage of nonsensical or pseudoscientific notions about the virus, that you have been told by obviously incompetent government officials that there is no reason to panic, and that you are worried about what might happen to you and your loved ones in the near future. For all these reasons, here is a Stoic guide to the COVID-19 epidemic, and more generally, to any future pandemic. The way I'm going to tackle the issue is by using the threefold Stoic curriculum as it was taught in ancient schools. That is, we're going to look at the epidemic from the point of view of physics, logic, and ethics. The word physics for the Stoics actually refers to a broad approach to understanding the world, which includes what we nowadays call the natural sciences and metaphysics. Logic is also understood in a broader than usual sense to mean anything to do with proper reasoning. Finally, ethics too has an enlarged meaning in Stoicism, as it encompasses not just the study of right and wrong, but our best understanding of how to live a human life that is actually worth living. For the Stoics, a sound ethics is made possible by good physics and logic. So let us get started. We begin with the physics of COVID-19. The virus in question belongs to a family known as Coronaviridae, which means that to call it coronavirus is a bit inaccurate. The name stemming from the Latin corona, crown, because of the appearance of the viral particles. Other coronaviruses include the common cold as well as the little MERS and SARS. The common flu, by contrast, is not a coronavirus, as it belongs to a different family, known as Orthomyxoviridae. Why does this matter? Because it helps us put COVID-19 in its proper biological context, telling us something about what it is and what it isn't. Next, let's look at the basic facts about COVID-19 and how to respond to it. 1. There is no vaccine, nor will there be one available for at the very least a year. 2. There is no effective medication at the moment. 3. The most practical things you can do are A. Wash your hands carefully, at least 20 seconds, especially after you have been outside, and particularly if you have come into contact with large numbers of people, for instance, while using public transportation. B. Stay at home if possible, even if you're healthy, but most definitely if you're sick. C. Drink plenty of fluids. That's it. Nothing else is going to do crap, to use the proper scientific lingo. 4. You do not need to wear masks unless you're sick or you are a health provider. Masks do not filter the virus because its particles are too small. They do, however, reduce the chances that your mucus, if you're infected, will reach other people and infect them. 5. COVID-19 is more contagious than seasonal flu, SARS, hepatitis, or HIV, but less contagious than measles, chickenpox, and tuberculosis. That is because droplets containing COVID-19 fall within a few feet from infected individuals, while in the latter three diseases, the particles have a range of infection of 100 feet. The reason the first four diseases are less contagious than COVID-19 is because seasonal flu is typically slowed down by vaccines, SARS was easier to contain after the initial outbreak, and hepatitis and HIV require direct transmission of bodily fluids. 6. The incubation period for the virus, that is the time from infection to when symptoms are visible, and throughout which a person is capable of transmitting the infection, has been estimated to be between 5 and 7 days. Compare with the common flu, which has an incubation period of 2 to 3 days. This means that there is no way for you to know whether you have contracted the virus for several days, until the symptoms show up. Nor is there a way for you to know whether you have already come into contact with someone who is infected within the last several days. 7. The symptoms of COVID-19 are unfortunately pretty generic, hardly distinguishable in many cases from a common cold or flu. Fever, cough, vomit, diarrhea, and difficulty breathing. 8. The estimated fatality rate of COVID-19 is between 2 and 3%.
Compare that to the fatality rate for the common flu, 0.1%, which still translates to 35,000 annual deaths in the US alone, of SARS, 10%, and of MERS, a whopping 33%. As in general with respiratory viruses, your chances of being killed by an infection vary with age and health status. In the case of COVID-19, children do not seem to be at heightened risk, but elderly people or people with health conditions are. Analysis of data from China show a mortality rate of 8% for people in their 70s and 15% for people in their 80s. The ancient Stoics did not know any of this, of course, but they did have to deal with infectious diseases. Socrates, the chief inspiration for Stoic philosophy, lived in Athens during a plague that hit the city in the second year of the Peloponnesian War. He survived it, allegedly in part because he had a strong constitution and because his needs, in terms of food, drink, and social entertainment, were few. Marcus Aurelius had to handle the devastating effects of the Antonine Plague, probably smallpox brought back from the legions after the war against the Parthians on the eastern frontier of the empire. The plague was the worst in antiquity, causing millions to die. Let's take a look at the Stoic logic of COVID-19. Now that we know the basic facts, we need to reason properly about them. In the first place, should we panic? Obviously not. Panic is an emotional overriding of reason, which means it is automatically a no-no for a Stoic practitioner. Moreover, there's no good reason to be too worried, given the above facts. The chances of contracting the virus, even in the countries where it is currently widespread, are still rather low. Even if you do contract the virus, there are very good chances that you will recover, especially if you don't have severe health conditions or are particularly old. By the same token, however, reason also dictates not to be too casual about the danger. It is still a worrisome virus, and the rational thing to do is to respond in a measured way to the threat. That is, to deploy the Stoic virtue of temperance, which means doing things in the right way, neither overdoing it nor underdoing it. In the case in question, this means following the recommendations given above, particularly about washing hands thoroughly and limiting exposure to large crowds or public spaces, if possible. In terms of travel, again, use your ruling faculty, as Marcus Aurelius calls it. For the foreseeable future, just don't go anywhere unless you absolutely need to. Finally, let us consider the Stoic ethics of COVID-19. What does the above mean from an ethical perspective? As Stoics, we are cosmopolitan, which implies that we should be concerned for all members of the human cosmopolis. In practice, this means that, for instance, we shouldn't hoard masks that we don't need, as this may cause a shortage that may affect those who do need them, sick people and healthcare workers. It's also incumbent on us not to expose others to the virus. So we have an ethical duty not to go to work if we're sick. We moreover have an obligation to help others reason and not panic about what is going on. And it would be consistent with Stoic virtue, I think, to donate money to organizations that help combating the epidemics, especially in countries that are soon likely to be hit and have insufficient medical resources, like many places in Africa. What if, after all of this, we are actually struck by the virus? In that case, we of course will follow all recommended medical procedures. But we will also keep in mind the dichotomy of control. Our considered judgments and our decisions to act or not to act are up to us, but outcomes are not. That includes, of course, health outcomes. Finally, even when sick, we should treat others kindly, particularly our caretakers, like doctors, nurses, etc. After all, they are there to help us, and they are doing a very stressful job. More broadly, however, it is precisely when circumstances are dire that we get to exercise our virtue, and a pandemic is most definitely a dire circumstance. Here is how Seneca puts it in the 85th letter to Lucilius. The storm does not interfere with the pilot's work, but only with his success. It is indeed so far from hindering the pilot's art that it even exhibits the art. For anyone, in the words of the proverb, is a pilot on a calm sea. Stay safe.
Thank you for joining me for another Stoic meditation. I will return with a new episode very soon, if Fortuna allows, of course. If you like this podcast, please consider supporting it by opening your browser and going to anchor.fm/Stoic Meditations. Also, please take a minute to give the podcast a good review on whatever platform you're using to listen to it. Thank you.